Well, this morning as we come to worship, I want to offer this call to worship that's based on Psalm 145. It says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all He has made. The Lord is faithful in all His words and gracious in all His deeds. The Lord upholds all that are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Hear the words of the Lord in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to our amazing God." Hear again the words of the Lord in Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Lord, as we come and gather in worship today, may we each feel anew your love. May we each feel anew your forgiveness. May we each feel anew a fresh indwelling of your Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit, come. We pray in your name. Amen. Emma's going to share with us from the Gospel of John.
When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me. Not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, What signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, if it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Sir, they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
Does anyone like bread? Bread? Who likes eating bread? Bread is a go-to in our house. Our kids like it as long as it's got something on it. My great-granddad on Dad's side, when his mind started going a little bit, and would visit him, and he was pretty much living on bread, but he'd put bread and or toast, you know, the fancy name for bread, and he'd put butter, and then he'd put salt and pepper on it. I want to say that it's pretty good. And I encourage you to try it, actually. Don't go overboard with the salt and pepper. But his mind was going a little bit, and this was what he was eating. And then we thought we should try it ourselves, and it has become a standard in our house for my brothers and parents and stuff. So toast, lightly toasted, not black, like Emma. Our Emma likes her toast like charcoal. It's just, it's disgusting. But you know, lightly toasted, a bit of butter, a little bit of salt and pepper, and you'll be amazed or disgusted. one of two things. But Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Jesus makes some pretty bold claims about himself, doesn't he? We've got the classic I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. And then, of course, I am the bread of life. This promise that he makes about being the bread of life, about no longer being hungry or thirsty, has to be one of his most impressive statements that he makes about himself. After all, who wouldn't love to no longer be hungry? Who wouldn't love to no longer be thirsty ever again? It's a bit of an extravagant claim that he makes about himself. You know, people go to great lengths and spend a great deal of money on different types of surgery and procedures and medication to no longer be hungry. Yet I think we can all agree when we hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We can all agree that he's not talking about physical hunger or physical thirst. But what about when Jesus first used this reference? Well, what about people who like to take things very literally? What about those that go without? I wonder how these bold words are understood by people who actually don't have enough food to eat. What about those that have to travel on foot some great distance to get clean water to drink? I remember a few years ago, it was either in one of those self-denial videos that we watch, or it might have been part of the Christmas bowl appeal that was on, where the Salvation Army were raising money to build wells for people so they could have clean water to drink. I don't know if our... Does anyone here watch YouTube? Yeah, I watch YouTube. I've got a very interesting YouTube playlist. Before I tell you this one, it's a very interesting playlist or subscribed list of people. I've got this lady called This Mum at Home. She does all shopping stuff and holiday tips. I watch this guy called The Hoove GP. Now, if you do watch YouTube, Google The Hoove GP, HOOFGP. He trims cow's feet. It's quite fast. I find it very relaxing. He's got over, he's got like 2 million subscribers. He makes a fortune out of it. He makes it like an absolute fortune out of it. Anyway, there's this other YouTuber that Joshua ticked the bell on, subscribed to, a guy called Mr. Beast. He's got chocolate bars at Woolworths. You can buy them. They're ridiculously expensive and taste awful, but he has them. But this guy, Mr. Beast, he is, I think he's the world's most popular YouTuber. And he did a project a few years ago where he built thousands of wells for people so they could have clean water and not go without. The idea of being thirsty and wanting to have clean water is a need that's very real for a lot of people. What about people who have to send their kids to bed at night with grumbling stomachs? Here in Australia, the Salvos have done a fair bit of research, and there's parents that are going without food so their kids can have food even here in Canberra. When they read verses or hear verses like Jesus saying, "Come to me and you'll never be hungry or thirsty," how do they feel? Do they feel that Jesus can satisfy some hunger within? But what about those who have some type of emotional hunger that needs satisfying? What about people who thirst for another person to be their friend? Someone they can be honest and fully connected to. Those who hunger for companionship. Those who thirst for some sort of closure to a pain or regret that still lingers. How are they supposed to feel? Can Jesus satisfy that longing too? Is the presence of Jesus somehow expected to fulfill those longings of the heart? When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," we know that he's talking about spiritual hunger. The idea of hunger and thirst must be a metaphor for something that is not physical or psychological. Jesus is the bread of life, satisfies a particular hunger and thirst of our spirits. But why the bread of life? Have you ever thought about that? Why the bread of life? Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't call himself the Big Mac of life? What about the "I am the all-you-could-eat buffet of life"? That would satisfy a hunger, wouldn't it? Or perhaps in the culture today, "I am the dairy-free, gluten-free, egg-free, allergy-free bread of life." Perhaps that sounds a little bit silly. What about something that might have been a bit relevant? "I am the rice of life." Jesus referring to himself as the bread of life was a culturally important metaphor that he used. Bread was an important staple, a must-have, a daily item. Without it, people would die. There wasn't the choice that we have today. Perhaps if Jesus was speaking today, he might have used a different metaphor. He might have called himself the dairy-free, gluten-free, allergy-free bread of life. Perhaps today it would have been something different. But back in Jesus' day, it was a culturally important and relevant metaphor. Like bread to the people in the first century Middle Eastern economy, Jesus is a staple intended for daily intake, which we must receive into our souls to satisfy the spiritual longings that we experience. And that sounds fine on many levels. But what about the feeling some of us have, perhaps even you, that there's things about Jesus don't commute, that don't answer all the questions we have about life, death, and other important things in life? We take Jesus. We say that we know Jesus. But deep within, we still find ourselves at times grumbling and complaining like the Israelites in the wilderness. Like the crowd of Jewish leaders that didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. You know, sometimes we hear and take all we can in about Jesus, yet sometimes we still have an emptiness that one might describe as a hunger. I don't know this band very well, but it comes up as an illustration, and I listened to the song, and when I listened to the song, I realised I knew it. The band U2, they're very famous. They're no Taylor Swift, but they're very famous. Anyway, the song, they wrote a song that's almost written like a creed. It's a song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. If you know that song, it's stuck in your head now, I apologise. The song talks about, in simple form, things that the author knows to be true about their life and things that they've achieved. If the song's not stuck in your head, it's about to be. It says, I've climbed the highest mountains, I've run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I've been looking for. And then towards the end of the song, it has this twist where it talks about their relationship with Jesus. It says, I believe in the kingdom come, or then all the colours will bleed as into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds, you loosened the chains, carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame, you know I believe it. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's a song that gives voice to the spiritual hunger that people have. There's a sense that some may know about Jesus, but sometimes we find ourselves searching, wondering, questioning, saying, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Yet the words of Jesus still hang out there in the air for us to deal with. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. The people Jesus is talking to way back in his day, the Jewish leaders in the crowd following after him, many who saw or at least heard about the miracle of the bread and the fishes that never seemed to stop flowing. These people are familiar with the story of the bread from the ancestors' life. They would have remembered the story about how in the wilderness Israel had no food and how God provided for them bread or manna from heaven. And when they heard Jesus talking about never being hungry and this bread that he talked about, perhaps they would have thought about something that could have been collected, possessed, passed out. And when the next day came, when they were hungry again, they could simply go out and collect that manna once more, picking it up, claiming it, and taking it home. But one of the differences that Jesus, the bread of the life, wants them and us to see, that he's not something that can be picked up, collected, and owned. You see, Jesus doesn't say, whoever picks me up will never be hungry. He doesn't say, whoever possesses me. He doesn't say, whoever asks for me, whoever has asked me into their hearts will never be thirsty. Jesus says, whoever comes to me. In fact, when he says this to the crowd, he echoes the very first words he talks in the Gospel of John. When the disciples ask Jesus where he is staying, he says, come and see. Come is a word of invitation, a word of ongoing relationship, a word of friendship. Faith in Jesus is a process, not just a moment or a single event. It's ongoing, not once and done. It involves coming to him, learning to believe, trusting, growing, staying connected to him. St. Augustine said once said, every single person has within them a God-shaped vacuum in their soul. We can and do attempt to fill that cavity with a host of other things. But finally, nothing fills our hunger for redemption and significance except Jesus. Jesus calls us to come to the altar, to offer our all to him. And in coming, we begin to understand that with Jesus, the hunger we feel for spiritual satisfaction can only be met as we draw closer to him. It's only as we come to him, as we sit at his feet, as we connect with him deeper and deeper, as we begin to understand the depth of what he has actually done for us on the cross, that we can say, actually, I've found what I've been looking for. It is only as we come to Jesus daily to receive our daily bread that our hunger is truly satisfied and our thirst is fully quenched. On the cross, Jesus Christ indeed paid the debt once and for all. The powerful "I am hungry" of the world and of our lives is satisfied by the infinitely more powerful "I am." I am the bread of life. So this morning, are you hurting and broken within? Are you overwhelmed? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. He says, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is yours through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He says, leave your regrets and mistakes behind. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. So this morning, as we sing this song, it's going to play on the screen. I invite you to spend time. You might like to come to a physical altar and spend time in prayer. You might like to sit where you are. But this morning, as we come and spend time reflecting, I want to encourage you to say to Jesus, Lord, I know you can quench my thirst. I know in you my hunger can be satisfied. Lord, I come to you. Please, Lord, fill my hunger and quench my thirst. Let's sing. So, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we come to you to feel that spiritual hunger within our lives. We come to you, Lord, to quench the thirst that only you can quench. Lord, we claim the fact that you are the bread of life. And Lord, help us to come daily to you. Like those back in the day, Lord, that where bread was that daily intake that was needed to survive. Lord, help us to see you as that daily intake we need to survive. So we pray that each one of us would truly see you as the bread of life as we come to you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Amen. And just a benediction to end with from Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Just dwell on that this week. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God that he has lavished on us. Thanks be to God. Amen.